Well, we need the Wallabies to lift our spirits as Australians because the most recent result as far as internationals are concerned, the Matildas absolutely hammered 7-0 they lost to Spain the other day, and it was a bit of a shock result. I don't think we saw a result that lopsided coming. To talk more about that, it's a very good morning to Phil Moss. Hello, Mossy.
Good morning, Ryan, Jamie and Matty Burt. Great to be with you this morning. And big New South Wales grins this morning. We said that that Nathan Cleary would step up last night, and he certainly did that. But wow, what credit to Jake Trbojevic and other big boys who gave him so much more protection than game one. I think that was the secret sauce to the win last night.
Wasn't it what? Tell me, mate, you talk about sort of standing up. What happened to our girls the other day against Spain? And I know that Spain, I think Emily Gelnick said the other day that Spain are probably the top team in the world right now, but 7-0, where through from here? Where to from
well,
here, I should say?
I'm assuming you detected my tactic before, Matty B, by deflecting Ryan's...
Well done. Correct. And like a good journalist I am, I get back right on the point, mate.
Exactly. No, look, it wasn't. It certainly wasn't a good night out for our Matildas. And gee whiz, where to start with this? It's let's just start with the fact that we were completely under strength against one of the world powers, who are literally in the final stages of preparation for the Euros in Spain, getting ready for those Euros. So the mismatch was, it was penthouse to outhouse stuff.
Who makes that decision, mate?
Well, this is the thing, Matty, right? So with all our stars out, and when I say that, you know, due respect to the likes of Emily Van Egmond, Claire Polkinghorne, Tamika Yallop, who were probably the names that most would recognise who were in the side yesterday morning. But if resting the key players from the Matildas, the stars that are playing over in Europe, if resting them for this camp wasn't part of the plan, it should have been. So if it was sprung on the coaching staff at the last minute that they needed a rest, that's poor planning.
Yeah.
And if it was part of the plan, why would you take on Spain?
Yes.
Seriously, like with a severely understrength side, because that's not helping anyone. It's not really answering any questions, as Tony Gustafsson said it was planned to do, because the disparity in quality was just stark.
And it's been a frustration for a lot of football fans. We saw what Graham Arnold went through for the Socceroos campaign, for example, in the qualification for the World Cup. You know, A-League teams not releasing a lot of players and the like. It's something that they probably don't have the balance right, you would think, at the moment, Mossy.
Yeah, that's right. Look, and post-game, Gustafsson talked about Legacy 23 and you know, the pathway forward to develop more and more players for the Matildas through the W League and the pathways, the youth pathways. And he said that this result really lays that bare. Well, I don't think we needed a 7-0 shellacking at the hands of one of the world superpowers to tell us that. I don't think that does anything for the confidence of the female players in Australia, and certainly not those who donned the Matildas jersey yesterday morning. We know there's work to do. There's a lot of work to do, and it starts with more games. And I think this Legacy 23, and I'm not a big one for trotting out the word legacy ourselves. I think that's for others to speak about. But if there is going to be a lasting impact from hosting a World Cup, it needs to be more opportunities for players to play games and more opportunities for coaches to coach games and coach players. And I think it starts and stops there. It's going to be fantastic to host the World Cup, but we need to make sure that we are going deep into this tournament as one of the co-host nations. So results like last night don't fill me with confidence, and I'm sure I'm not speaking on my own there.
So just on that point then, Mossy, I know Graham Arnold was calling for the A-League season to be moved forward. I know there's discussions about that at an APL level at the moment to do that. If they do bring it forward, how far do you think they should bring it forward that gives these players enough time to get some time into their legs and to see the right squad, the right players that we can pick for that World Cup?
It's a really tough one to answer, Ryan, because there's so many things at play when you talk about bringing a season forward, not least the television deal and airtime that's available, because that's a key driver of how a season is played out. So there's games to be played. There's the Australia Cup, which is the old FFA Cup. You've got quarterfinals, semifinals, the final. You've got a FIFA window in late September where the players who are in the sights of Graham Arnold will be able to get some minutes. But is it enough rhythm? Is it enough continuity to have players ready for the biggest, you know, sporting event in the world? The answer is probably no. So you would like to think with the World Cup in November, you would like to think players are getting, you know, 2 months or 10 games under their belt, so eight to 10 games at least, because I don't think players find their rhythm until about round four, five or six. And then the other question is, how many of those players who aren't in Graham Arnold's sights at the moment may be able to force their way in if they're playing regularly and playing well? Mm. And how many players look to go over to Europe, maybe on loan spells like Archie Thompson did back in 2006 in the lead up to the Germany World Cup when Bush hitting took him to PSV Eindhoven? So a lot of questions to be answered between now and in the next couple of months.
Well, Archie's been urging A-League players to go overseas to make the World Cup.
Yeah, that's right. And he was caught in a perfect storm, Jamie, because Gus Hiddink was the Socceroos coach. He was double-hatting with PSV at the time. So it was a pretty easy route for Archie to take. And it was crucial for him to be ready for that World Cup at that time. So, yeah, he said, look, if anyone's got the opportunity to do as I did, that's definitely a good avenue to take to get yourselves ready for a World Cup. First of all, get yourselves in the squad, and secondly, have yourself ready to perform at that level. So I don't blame him for coming out and saying that. It's not, I think the A-League men has prepared a lot of these players to do what they did against UAE and Peru at the last hurdle. And there's no reason it can't again. The problem is the timing of the season, of course. So the good news was, I think, for the Socceroos, really, with Kai Rolls now going overseas, there was only one player in the starting 11 against Peru, which was Matt Leckie, who is now still playing in the A-League. So we're starting to get more and more players going abroad and playing more regular football.
Mm. Hey, tell me, mate, you and you're close to Graham Arnold, and you coached with him as well. How was he in that period of time there when he was copping so much heat and had to go to these two extra games for the World Cup? Was he still confident in his beliefs, coaching ability, and the rest of it?
Yeah, he was, Matty. That's the one thing. Yeah, did he go to some, you know, dark places as a lot of coaches do when they're really under the pump? Yes, of course he did. But they weren't dark places where it was him questioning his ability or his belief in his methods to get us there. It was reaching deep within himself to work out what he could do more of to get the result that we needed to. And, you know, it can be a lonely place coaching, but he's got good support around him in his staff and his family and some close friends. And he never lost belief. He knew that he was the right man to get them there, and he knew that he'd set the foundation for the players to get over the line in the end. And I think there was a lot of unfair criticism of him personally, but also the situation. You know, people forget that we went to the last hurdle under Ange Postecoglou, and he had a guy called Timmy Cahill in his squad. We don't have a Timmy Cahill anymore, and we still got there. So I think it's and by the way, there was 2 years of COVID, 500 days without a game with the Socceroos during this campaign that went for over 1,000 days, which is unheralded. So I just think he deserves all the credit that we can give him.
Great stuff, Mossy, and looking forward to you joining us in the studio on Wednesday.
Oh, I can't wait for that, Ryan. I'm sure whichever seat I take will be white hot.
No golf then, mate, obviously.
I'll probably leave it lukewarm. No, not this week, Matty. I won the comp at Long Reef the other week. So
how many points did you get?
That for a while.
Superb.
I ended up with 37, and it was blowing a southerly gale at Long Reef. So anyone who plays at Long Reef will know what that means.
What are you playing off at the moment?
Mate, let's just say I'm down from 22 to about 16 at the moment.
Okay, so that's not bad off 16. Well done, Mossy. Oh, well, you're in good form on the golf course. I'm sure you'll be in good form on Wednesday. We look forward to chatting then.
Great to talk. Have a great day.